My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, what a perfect summation of a baseball season. It's good times, bad times. You know, we've had our share. Certainly more good than bad, though. Certainly more. I got to stop engaging with the doomers, because, like, one guy's name is Padres Doomer. I should have known what I was in for. Like, that's on me. Like, it's right there in the name. I can't be surprised, you know, when he says Joe Musgrove is washed. Or whatever, and I'm like, did you watch Friday? Did you watch tonight? Quality start for Joe coming off of an injury? Like, washed is not the term that enters my mind. And there's, you know, listen, there's an NFL mentality to the baseball season. We probably are partly to blame for it. I will take responsibility there, but I think you have to step back and just look at the body of work right now, and the body of work has been really good, really impressive. Yeah?
Yeah, the body of work has been outstanding for the San Diego Padres. You know, the questions yesterday, both about Suarez's effectiveness and whether he should have even been used in the ninth inning.
Sure.
Obviously, in a home game, it's pretty easy to put in Helsley in the ninth because you can win it in the bottom of the ninth. But the Padres, to win that game, would have
Suarez.
Also had Suarez.
Yeah,
yeah, but Helsley in the it was an easy decision for Ollie Marmol to go to Helsley
100%.
In the ninth because they can win it in the bottom of the ninth, as they did. For the Padres to win that game, they would have also needed to get through
three
the bottom
more
outs. Of the 10th.
Yeah.
No matter if they score one, if they score
six,
they still need to get three more outs.
Yeah.
So you can always kind of debate whether or not to use your closer in that situation.
I question it pretty much every time.
Who?
I don't have a problem with it, but
no,
I question it.
Because
I go,
so
well, if they score, if you know,
who do you think they would have brought in? I was wondering myself, who would have pitched the 10th? Let's say Jurickson gets the bunt down. Crony hits a sacrifice fly, and you're up 4-3, and you're going to the now. Well, no. Let's say you're still tied at 3. Suarez gets through the ninth, and then you score. He gets Arenado out, and you score in the 10th, and it's 4-3 now in the bottom of the 10th. Runner on second. Suarez, though, is thrown.
Estrada.
Could be Estrada. He pitched the day before.
8 pitches.
Probably Estrada was who was going to be the guy.
I don't know if it's just I'm a simpleton or whatever. Like, it makes so much more sense to always just have the closer in there when you have the lead versus the top.
I think it would have been Estrada, Morejon, or Hoeing, probably.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure who would have pitched the bottom of that 10th. But I don't think Suarez would have come back, given how much he's been used. That was the third time in 4 days. And he threw over 20 pitches. Probably not going to be a second inning from Robert Suarez there. So you still need to get through that inning. And you can question, I think you can question that strategy,
sure.
But I don't think you can win that argument. Just like the bunt argument, you can always say, well, if we lose it in the ninth, then it doesn't matter who we're going to pitch in the 10th.
I mean,
want to get through that ninth inning. You give us a chance in the 10th because we could score 5 in the top of the 10th, and then it doesn't matter who we're pitching in the bottom of the 10th.
Yeah, I mean, we're all hindsight geniuses. All of us. Everyone. No, I'm literally the best manager in the world. In the world, when I have the gift of hindsight. Of course I wouldn't have done that. Obviously, you didn't get the run home. Swing away. Oh, you gave up 3 consecutive hits with 2 outs. Obviously, I should have obviously I was going to go to somebody else there. And then I could just say Suarez wasn't available. He's pitched too much lately.
Again,
and he's pitched a lot.
He has. And he's probably, there is probably some fatigue. As Eno has told us many times, relievers only get worse over the course of the season.
Yeah.
Every pitch they throw, fatigue is going to make things tougher and tougher. Now, some guys do overcome that and still get outs, but that is a normal thing for relievers. But again, he pretty much won his battles. He got Mason Winn, was just trying to make some contact. He was just hoping that ball would find a hole. Poke one to the right side, got it through. That's not a guy, you know, squaring up and ripping one. Victor Scott's at bat. I was really excited that Victor Scott was coming up there. He was a defensive replacement. My son goes, why is Victor Scott batting second? I go, he wasn't. He came in as a defensive replacement. That's probably the Cardinals going, oh, this is coming back to burn us now. But he put together a good at-bat, and he blooped one to center field that found some grass. So now it's first and second. Arenado, I thought, was maybe the worst pitch. Even Mike Schilt said we wanted to be careful with him, gave him something to hit. But he had a ground ball that had an XBA of under 250. I mean, 3 out of 4 times, that's an out. It's a ground ball out. It just happened to be up the middle and found the hole where it wins the game for the St. Louis Cardinals. Robert Suarez didn't necessarily fail so much as baseball happened in the ninth inning against him yesterday.
And baseball happened throughout the game. And I mean, obviously, if you watch the game, you were so encouraged by the way the boys came out and put a couple runs up early. Yeah, they did not deliver the kill shot, and they had plenty of opportunities to do so. I think Mike Schilt addressed it after the game, too. Yeah, plenty of opportunities, 1 for 10, runners in scoring position. They've been better than that. They've been phenomenal at that all year. Take it as... I think it's actually fair to say it absolutely is. It's an anomaly for the San Diego Padres to have a game like that. It's certainly not the rule. It's
1 for 10 with runners in scoring position is an extreme anomaly for the Padres.
This year?
They had a runner on in every single inning of the game.
Yeah,
they gave themselves plenty of chances. So didn't come through.
It's
they do that every game. They put runners on base every game of every inning. They're going to win the World Series. You're not going to be able to beat the Padres 4 out of 7 times.
Bro, 100%.
If they're putting runners on every single inning. They're not going to win every game, just like yesterday. There will be one or two every once in a while that you don't get the RISP and you don't score. But you set yourself up like that, you're going to win the World Series. So that was not a reason to be concerned last night.
All of the tropes and all of the stuff that we say all the time and all of the things Mike Schilt says and Manny Machado says after the game in a loss, I mean, are we, like, we have very short memories. They say this all the time. As long as we're in a position to win a game late, we did our job. It's not always going to work. Nobody goes 162-0, right? They've been saying this, and we thought they were insane at the beginning of the year. We did. We were like, oh, my God. They've stayed true to all of that. As long as we have the opportunity to win a baseball game, we feel we can do it. They didn't last night. But they didn't. It just was one of those games where it's like, no, we had a chance, and you flush it, and you move on today and try to win that series. Again, it stung in the moment, certainly, because you hate seeing it happen to Robert Suarez. You hate seeing Jake not come through and Manny not come through there with a big knock. But you also look at it and go, yeah, this is par for the course. They were in a position to win the game late, and they didn't get the job done, and it's okay.
Need a contestant for Real or Fake. The lines are open right now if you want to call in and take your chance to try to qualify for our trip to Las Vegas without having to take on Woods. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. I think it's always good to remember, even the worst team, and this year's worst team is one of the worst teams ever, the Chicago White Sox, they find a way to win 1 out of every 4 games. They've got a almost 250 winning percentage, and they're absolutely horrible. So if you're playing a 4-game series, probably going to lose one of those most of the time. Even against, and the Cardinals are by no means one of the worst teams in baseball. They're not great, but they're not bad. They're 50-50 average, 1 game below 500 at this point. They've got good players, too, and they're going to come through. By the way, the Padres, they had some balls that found holes in the first inning.
Yeah, they did.
Ground balls, you know,
yeah,
Manny's RBI single.
It works.
It works both ways.
You give and you take, and we certainly got some, too.
And, so. You know, closers at the end don't always get the job done. Trevor Hoffman many times came in tie games and didn't get the job done for whatever reason. I don't know if there's that psychological advantage you have.
We've asked everyone we've ever talked to, and you know, I think they all say, "Not my job is to get outs." You know, my job is just to get outs. But you know, we love to point to that as, "Oh, what an idiotic move! You never use your closer in a non-save situation." It's like, man, if it's me and I'm managing, I'm going with the guy that I trust to get the outs, the guy that I've seen get the biggest outs of the year. It's not that hard. You go with the guy you trust the most, and that's the guy you trust the most. Why does he trust him the most? Because he's delivered the most. This is not, we overthink this game way too much. I'm going to the guy I trust the most in this situation to get me three outs. Nobody's going to be 100%. Nobody ever has been, ever. You know, through the course of their career, nobody's ever, he was 600 for 600 and save opportunities, right? It's never happened. It's never going to happen. But you go with the guy, you play the percentages, the guy that you trust, the guy you feel that can get you the outs in that situation, and that's what Mike Schilt did, and I have no problem with it.
All right, let's get to it. It is time to play Throwback Thursday edition of Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
What we're playing for, and I've gone. This is Charles. Got line six today. Charles? You there? I hear you.
Oh. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hey, buddy.
Charles, Charlie, what do you go by?
Chuck.
All right. Chuck is our contestant today on Real or Fake. Chuck, here's what you're playing for. If you can get four out of seven right, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing, which is coming up fairly soon here. Two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas. Two tickets to Carrie Underwood, Reflection at Resorts World Theater. Now all the way through the spring. Tickets on sale at AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. All right, since it is Corn Week on Ben and Woods, today's Real or Fake is all about that versatile vegetable. Or is it a grain? I'm not even sure.
It's a vegetable, isn't it?
Whatever it is.
It's a fruit.
I don't think it's a fruit.
Oh, I know. I was joking.
I've compiled a list of heirloom corn varieties. You just have to guess which ones are real and which ones are fake. Woods can help you out as well. So, Charles, you ready to play? Chuck, are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right. Real or fake heirloom corn varieties. Round one, country gentleman. Real or fake heirloom corn? Country gentleman.
I assume fake. Woodsy, what do you think?
Bro, I assume fake too, but he has this creepy little look on his face, and I can't. It's hard for me to read it. Let's say fake, bro. I'll roll with you.
Chuck, you say fake?
All right. Let's go fake.
Paulie? That is a real variety of
country gentleman.
All right, that's 0 for 1, but you got plenty of time to come back.
I would like an ear of country gentleman.
Let's go round number two. Bloody Butcher. Bloody Butcher. Real or fake heirloom corn variety?
Oh, God. I don't like him, Chuck. I'm sorry. I don't like him. He's so hot. Look at him.
Yeah, he's loving this.
He's loving it, dude. You should see his face.
That just sounds fake again.
I know. All right, I'm rolling with you. Let's go. Fake. It's fake.
Let's go fake.
It's real. This is garbage. Come on.
Sorry. Round number three. All right. Early pink pearl. Early pink pearl. Whoa. Real or fake heirloom corn?
Once again, sounds fake, but we went wrong every time.
Going to change his strategy or not? What are you?
Well, bro, he's already done two reels.
No, I don't have to. They could all be real. They could all be fake. There are no requirements in this game.
I have to work with this guy every day, Chuck. You believe this?
let's go fake one more time.
Paulie?
It's real. Oh, my God.
We need all four.
We need
here.
A monster comeback here. This is Red Sox, Yankees, 2014.
Round number
here
four.
We go.
And now the pressure is on. Glass gem, real or fake? Glass gem corn, real or fake?
Woods, I'm sure. Fake again. Let's roll. Go fake again.
Let's go down with
now.
The ship. I'll go down with you. Here we go.
All right.
Oh, sorry, Chuck.
Those are all real. All of them real. You guessed fake on all of them.
Sorry, Chuck.
Thanks for calling.
He's a
monster. Game is over.
All right, give me the rest.
Howling mob.
Fake.
Wichita Blue.
Real.
Dakota Black.
Fake.
Holy crap.
Wichita Mob.
No, Howling Mob is
Howling
real.
Howling Mob.
Wichita Blue is the only fake one in the entire list. And
I
you
think
said
there
real.
Should be a rule against tricks like that.
That's don't tricks.
Yeah, it's a trick.
What's a trick?
You got to mix it up. Three and four. Is
no,
the...
no. There's. It could be all fake. It could be all real. There could be four fake and
what
three real.
Trying to,
no...
you know, we want these people to qualify. We want them to listen. We want to give
I'm
them a good
sorry.
Experience.
Give them an opportunity where they don't have to take on Woods. And it's a guessing game. I think the more it can be 50-50, the better it is.
It's true.
That's my philosophy on real or fake. I try to come up with things that are true guesses. Occasionally someone knows one or two of them, gives you a little bit of an advantage. Otherwise, yeah. It's a coin flip, and you only need to get 4 out of 7. It's not like you need to get all 7 right. But today, Katie knew Glass Gem. She would have gotten that one.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't heard of it.
I haven't heard any of those, actually.
They're all weird looking. I was looking
are
up.
They?
Oh, yeah. There's weird. They don't look like, sometimes they're like round, like not like ears of corn.
Like an all apple?
Kinds of, yeah. All kinds of weird colors and shapes and everything. Yeah.
An apple, but corn?
Shaped.
An
yeah.
apple.
I mean, it has, like it has kernels,
sphere?
But it's like more of a round.
What's the brand?
I would eat
which one
I don't know which one that was. Try a Howling Mob corn. Let's see.
You can eat it like an apple, which would be awesome. I didn't know that. I've seen the different colors, right? In the
that looks like normal.
Is that a normal one?
In the cornucopias and whatnot.
There's some that are definitely weird shapes corn.
Now, have you ever eaten any other corn than just corn? Like, have you ever had
pretty much like white corn or yellow corn.
Sweet corn, you've had that.
Occasionally blue corn. I mean,
you've
had blue corn.
On the cob?
No, more
I've had blue corn
made into tortillas. Yeah, it's kind of where you have the blue corn more
candy
often.
Candy corn?
Candy corn, disgusting.
Awful.
Disgusting.
Not good.
In a pinch.
The top half.
In a pinch. Fine. I'll get a spoonful of sugar in a pinch, all right? But candy corn's about as low as I will go. But I want to try this apple.
I'd
purple
be all
corn,
in on the,
black
the
corn, blue
an orb
corn.
Of corn.
An orb of corn would be incredible. Like basketball size? And you're Bo would love it. It's his favorite thing.
Like a big pumpkin, but corn.
Yeah, corn.
Right. Corn on the orb.
I got to find one of these. Thank you, Ben, for that.
Sorry about that. Then the reason, of course, corn is such a theme this week is the corn sweat in St. Louis that's making things so hot and miserable.
I can't wait.
We can ask Mason McCoy about it.
I can't wait to get out of there.
When he joins us.
I can't wait for these guys. I'm not even there. I feel it, though. I feel it when I watch the games. I can see it and feel it through the TV. Hannah last night, she goes, oh, my God, that looks just miserable. Like, I know. It just looks miserable. Joe's pouring sweat. Pouring sweat all night. Those guys have to be so gassed. And now off to Tampa, where at least it'll be cool inside. But
yes, but one more outside. In the day now in St. Louis, it may be a tiny bit cooler, but you're playing in the day.
You're
which
exhausted.
Which makes things even worse.
Yeah.
All right, Don't Do This is coming up next.
Get the hell out of St. Louis.
Didn't mind yesterday seeing a lot of people light the Dodgers up for what they did yesterday. We'll throw them into the mix for Don't Do This.
I've got our old pal Stephen A. Smith talking about, well, baseball. And you know how that's going to go. And he got dragged all day yesterday.
All right, that's coming up next. First, a check of traffic with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fam.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Woodsy has teased me, and he won't even tell me what Stephen A. Smith said that has brought him once again to Don't Do This. Not his first time that he's been in this segment.
I mean, it's one of those deals we talk about it a lot, and he's, you know, all due respect to him, he's made an incredible career for himself. But it's when these guys, they start talking baseball, Benny, where they're exposed, much like myself in the NBA. But I know my shortcomings. I will tell you, all of you, the tier ones, the tier twos, the tier threes, you two, I don't know what I'm talking about. I haven't really watched the NBA since 2000. All right. So I know my weaknesses. I try not to sound like I know what I'm talking about. Stephen A., Colin Cowherd, when it comes to baseball, it just, they're football guys, man. They're basketball guys. That's what they are. And that's okay. Be it all the way, though. Listen to Stephen A. yesterday talking to Mad Dog.
But you do got Juan Soto bad enough behind you. You understand what I'm saying? They can't get around you a little bit. So, I mean, they got to pitch to the brother. You understand what I'm saying? Because you got Soto waiting in the wings. So all of those things facilitate
Soto hits in front of him,
Aaron though. Judge being who he is.
So, Juan Soto bats in Judge hits after Juan Soto.
Right. People would like sometimes to argue that maybe they should put Juan Soto behind Aaron Judge.
Sure. But no.
For the most part this season, he has batted in front of Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I mean,
which there's an argument to be made with the walks and
of course
get on base in front of the guy who's hitting 50-plus home runs.
Yeah, Judge hits after.
But there's not a lot of protection behind Judge in the lineup because the Yankees don't have a deep lineup. It's star-heavy.
Yeah, and he's still done the incredible amount of damage that he's done. But it's not only Stephen A., I mean, he also claims to be a Yankee fan, so that's not a great look.
Now, last season, didn't Judge lead off
sometimes? Yeah,
so
sometimes.
He did have guys behind him.
Yes.
But he has not been doing that this season.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now, you can argue whether that's the right or the wrong decision.
Sure, but it's definitely
Juan Soto has not been protecting Aaron Judge.
Correct. He just got dragged.
Yeah.
All day.
I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
Sure.
But
he said he didn't sound that confident when he said it.
Yeah, I could hear
he
that, too.
He was kind of fumbling over
but
it.
But Stephen A. tries to sound confident
that's
in
it.
Everything he says.
That's it.
Just, if I didn't know, I just wouldn't say it.
Satan's Blowfish. ESPN really giving baseball solid coverage, making sure the best analysts weighing in. You made a point this morning. You were driving in listening to Steve Phillips and who else?
I mean, it was Xavier Scruggs today.
Yeah,
both who know baseball, former GM, former player. They know a ton of baseball, but even when they're talking about your team, and I was listening to them discuss the Padre-Cardinal game,
isn't it
and they
fun?
Didn't say anything wrong, but it's such like surface level.
Yeah.
Like the National guys can't really get in depth on every team, and I'm going,
do they know who Jason Adam is? You know what I mean? Do they know who Brian Hoeing is?
But it still is. They're kind of describing the game, and they didn't obviously watch every moment of the game. They can't really get into depth like we can as Padres fans. And no one can. No, that's the big con with the national guys, whether it's Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless, whoever it is. No one has the time to be as knowledgeable about a subject as a true diehard fan of that team. So they're never giving you the kind of analysis you can get from a specific diehard, like, observer, fan. Your beat writer, your local radio hosts are almost always going to have better insight than the national guys on your team.
Well, I mean, and again, though, if he claims to be a Yankee fan, he would know. He would absolutely know that.
It's what makes guys like Jeff Passan the most impressive. Yeah. Because they actually do have pretty good insight around the league on every team. And that is really hard to do.
Sure.
But if you ask Jeff Passan, okay, now break down the 4-3 linebacker scheme and tell me about the salary cap in the NBA. I would hope he has no idea.
Right.
Because there's just no way you can know about everything the time.
I told you this early on in our relationship, is I'm not going to be afraid to say I have no idea. No, I did not watch. And it took me a while to get there. It's okay to not know everything. It's okay. You know your weaknesses, your shortcomings, and do the best you can with the other stuff.
All right, maybe a faux pas yesterday. I was going to do the Dodgers.
What was your don't do this for them?
Well, it was the golden Shohei Ohtani decoy dog bobblehead, kind of like the Joe Musgrove and dog bobblehead. They had their own, but they only had 40,000, and they Dodger Stadium seats
52. Yeah,
and they said, you have to get in line and to make sure you're one of the first 40,000. Padres say that too, but I've never heard a huge problem about a lot of people not getting their giveaways at Padres games. But the Dodgers said not everyone's going to get one. So people were lining up starting at 11 a.m. There were lines like Chavez Ravine, like a mile long, to make sure people were getting in. That's not the best way to handle a giveaway where fans feel like they have to get there 8 hours before the game to get in line just to make sure they get the free giveaway at the game.
I saw one.
It's not good.
I think our friend Charisma posted on eBay, $10,000.
For a Shohei bobblehead.
And I thought to myself, are you out of your mind?
That is a free giveaway.
I mean, and it just, like you said, there were people lined up around the corner. But you do think if it's the LA Dodgers, just make 50,000.
Exactly.
Right? And just control the scene.
You know it's going to be a sellout. Now, the Padres do the 40,000 thing as well. Now, capacity at Petco Park is technically 40,000, but in the sellouts, they get up to 45 now with all the standing room.
So
I assume there are people who don't end up getting those giveaways, but I don't know. Just for the Dodgers to have people, no one lines up at Petco Park at 11 a.m. to make sure they get a.
Don't do this though was them posting. I saw some Dodger fans posting pictures of one lady had hoarded like 12, and she's like standing around them like she was guarding Fort Knox.
You shouldn't have more than one.
Correct.
One ticket, unless she bought 12 tickets.
Unless she bought 12 tickets.
If you can really sell them for $10,000, you should have bought as many tickets as possible and then just started selling those things.
Nobody says, does anybody remember the whale Beanie Baby for the Padres in 96? Apparently, was that?
I don't remember.
Did that cause a riot? Were you a Beanie Baby guy?
No.
That surprises me, actually.
No.
All right.
But what I was going to, you tell me, is this a faux pas? So, Livy Dunn with her social media army.
Yeah.
Paul Skenes pitched yesterday for the Pirates. He was okay. 5 innings, 3 runs. But left with a big lead, 10-3 against the
gonna get a dub.
The Cubs. Gonna get the dub. Oh. Not the dubs matter, but it would have been his 9th win.
Sure.
And then the Pirates bullpen imploded, and they ended up losing 14-10. And as the implosion was happening, Livy Dunn went to social media and posted a "You Gotta Be Kidding Me" meme of Paul Skenes. And I heard them talking about it this morning, and that might not sit well necessarily in a Pirates clubhouse if a significant other of a player is basically lighting up teammates for not getting the job done. We're all thinking it, obviously.
Yeah.
But they know they blew it. They don't need you pointing it out.
And then I think it's fairly harmless.
I think it ultimately is probably pretty harmless.
Who was NFL wife that really was like tweeting during?
I can't believe it's not Brittany Mahomes, but I don't think it was her.
It wasn't. But it was somebody that was like, well, he can't do it all by himself.
Yeah.
You need to block for it. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, now you're.
This is kind of on the same wavelength.
I can't remember
Ultimately,
that.
Paul Skeens did nothing to take the narrative away from Jackson Merrill with
was
that
it
start.
Stafford's? So. Was it Kelly Stafford?
Yes. No, it was Matt Stafford's wife.
Are you sure? Yeah, like something like can't do it all himself. I can't remember. I don't want to mischaracterize.
Yeah.
All right, what do we have for do this?
You had Travis Jankowski.
Old friend alert. Check this out.
Well, let's set the stage.
DD Magadoodoo.
Two on, White Sox.
DD Magadoodoo.
Two on, White Sox with a chance to walk a rare victory, looking for the walk-off. I don't know. Who was at the plate?
It's Andrew Chafin on the mound. Okay. Paulie, play the audio. What the hell is it? All I can think of is Rick Vaughn.
It's Andrew Vaughn.
Andrew Vaughn's at the at the plate.
I was just queuing up. I found the White Sox radio
call. Yeah, the White Sox radio call is
1-2 coming. Swinging a fly ball. Deep left. Jankowski leaps. And he took away a game-winning home run. And the runners are back to their bases. He went way over the fence. And took it away.
It's one of the best catches I've ever seen.
It really is a top five catch in Major League Baseball history. The other one that was also a Texas Ranger was Gary Matthews Jr. I was going back through some of the old catches that I saw. Matthews Jr. with one of the most incredible catches in center field you'll ever see. But this one, man, they were about to get walked off by the Chicago White Sox. Now, did they end up winning the game, the Texas Rangers? Did they come back and...
They held on to win. They just needed one more out after that, and they got it. I think they walked the bases loaded, and then they got the final out. So another loss, a painful one.
Freddie, what a good dude he is, man. What a good dude he is. He's a late inning defensive replacement guy. Got himself a World Series ring last year. He was so kind. We interviewed him before. He was really, really cool dude. And the catch is so stupid.
I mean, any catch like that is amazing, but to actually take away a walk-off home run, I don't remember ever seeing that before.
I mean, and people in Chicago are like, of course. Like, just,
I mean, it was their 103rd loss.
You think we have
a little more memorable than the first 102, maybe?
Yeah.
At some point, it's just another loss.
Did you guys see the clip from that same game? In between innings, catcher throws down to second on the last throw.
Yep.
Second baseman or the short, I don't know who it was not paying attention, and he was standing on the base, and the ball hits him right in the nose.
Just threw down. All right, coming down.
Just daydreaming.
And just boom, right in the face.
Cardinals catcher Pajes had a little trouble throwing down to second yesterday.
Wow, we didn't take advantage of all of that yesterday.
Yeah, they scored the one run Jake scored in the first inning, but then they didn't take advantage of it after that. That's Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Throwback Thursday. Paulie is going to take us back some of the earliest days of Ben and Woods with some of our favorite clips of past years of the show. 2018, we got 2020 as well, one of the more frustrating days in Ben and Woods history. We'll relive some of those moments coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
It was Adam and a lot of other people pointed out, too. The one I was thinking of was Gisele Bündchen. Talking about her husband, Tom Brady, ex-husband Tom Brady, in the Super Bowl. He can't catch it. He can't throw and catch and do everything.
Like, something she was in like the tunnel after the game. Yeah, I think it was after they lost to the Eagles, and she was very angry.
I would have been very mad if I were his teammates. You know
well,
what I
mean? He already gets such an outsized amount of credit for all the wins.
Yeah.
You shouldn't then make all the losses about his teammates.
Correct.
That's not fair.
It's not fair at all. So
it's more fair what Livy Dunn did. I mean, Paul Skeens left with a 10-3 lead, and he was out of the game at that point.
Yeah, she didn't. She just.
You can't do anything about it once you're out of the game.
Yeah. You can't control it at all. And I think that was pretty harmless by Livy Dunn. Also, I will defend Livy Dunn, as you know. Never done anything wrong, as far as I'm concerned.
So sports.
No, so Throwback Thursday. We're going to check traffic when we come back. Paulie's queued up some of our clips from this week in Ben and Woods history, as we do on Throwback Thursdays, including all the way back 6 years to the very first months of the show. That is coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, let's peel the curtain back a little bit. What makes your favorite like television programs so successful? good character development.
You get
attached to whether it's Walter White or Larry David. You want to see what happens next to your favorite characters. You get to know them. You get to know what they love, what they hate, what drives them emotionally.
Yeah,
it's actually
serial content, essentially. Yeah. Just what's going on in their lives today.
It's actually kind of true for our show as well, a radio program.
For the best shows, that's exactly what it is.
A lot of people can talk Padres baseball. I think we do it well. But part of the appeal is, you get to know us, and you get to know our personalities and our lives, and you spend 4 hours with us, some of you, every single day. So, it's kind of an ongoing arc.
It's like a sitcom.
I like characters that can have an arc.
Yeah, you do like characters.
Ben and Woods and Paul have an arc.
Yes.
And it started a little over 6 years ago when this program began. And like many first seasons of television programs,
it's worse than Seinfeld.
Wasn't our best.
It's worse than Seinfeld.
It's rough because no one really has their character totally developed yet.
Go watch the second episode of Seinfeld. You tell me, was that any good in comparison
to
season
six? Season five.
Yeah. I mean, the differences are stark.
Yeah.
They're stark. We had no chemistry. We didn't know each other. And we had another person on our show as well.
And it's not even like in Seinfeld, they just got better. Whereas
the writing got better, the jokes got better.
And they figured out who George is.
Yeah, who's George?
Who is George?
Right.
Who is Elaine? Who is Kramer? I mean, they had an idea, but they had to really develop those people.
Yeah.
But then a show like Breaking Bad, season five and season one are so vastly different, like completely different characters. It's a whole different show. It's not just season one was so slow and you had to watch it.
It was
a slow
setup.
Burn.
Yeah, slow burn.
Now we are real people, which makes things a little bit different. But at the same time, even reality TV, you watch Survivor, you learn about the contestants over the course of the show and, their real motivations, whatever. So we were early in our show's tenure and trying to figure out, what kind of show do we want to do? Who are we? And, I wanted to do the normal kind of sports talk radio show and take calls and talk about the Chargers and whatever. This is what I was used to. Woods had a little bit different idea, and he was always looking for spots where perhaps we could break from the normal sports talk radio program. And there was one of those moments.
Woods was an enigma when he started with us.
Well, you were kind of almost trying to go along with me too much
at
the beginning.
I've never been at my worst.
And that's why I think this clip is so good, because this was August, so about 5 months in.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when the wheels at least started to pivot.
To turn a little bit.
I still say it was about a year in where we really figured out our show and how we wanted it to sound. This was 5 months in, and we had...
I love this one.
Yeah, before we play it, my instinct, of course, is to ignore it.
Correct. Plow.
Move on and pretend it didn't happen. Just be a pro. Like, okay, things like this happen, but we don't need to address it. We just move on and continue on with our good, solid Padres talk conversation.
We were talking actually about Luis Urias at the time.
And Carlos Asuaje.
Yes.
And then the fourth voice you'll hear was our old boss, Joe.
Yep.
And this is what happened.
He's really no worse than many of the other players on that team. You just singled him out as kind of the poster boy for the Padres' lack of success.
I ask you, is it irrational? Is it irrational? What was that, by the way?
that was my body. I'm sorry. I didn't burp.
Paul, can you...
I need to eat.
Paul,
I'm
going to need that. I need that.
I need to eat.
I need that forever. No, I completely lost my train of thought. It set me off.
That was just why.
As Joe's guts...
Irrational anger.
As Joe's guts gurgled to the top. He's in there eating like a raw lemon. If this means Asuaje is packing his bags to go play Fortnite in El Paso, I'm totally.
So do we like this?
Yes! One more time.
You jerks.
This is the greatest moment of show history.
That's right. It was.
Do we like the t-shirt better than BIP or 80% of Alomar better?
I like better than BIP.
Better than 80% of Alomar.
Okay, how about throw up?
Okay.
How about Alan Wiggins?
Well, I don't think he's as fast as Alan. You're not going
to
get any
stolen
bases, but he does have speed and good defense.
Let's
hear what some of the listeners have to say.
I'm crying
about expectations.
I love it. One of my favorite moments of all time. You have to embrace the
But why that was important is that after that, we started embracing the weird and mistakes. I mean, that's probably what started leading to Ben's flubs
and the drops.
A lot of the things that we do on the show today.
Like Trainwreck Radio.
It started right there.
Forgot about all of this. Somebody said I sound 10 years younger. Yeah, man. I've aged a lot. A lot.
To me, Paul, or it's your children?
All of the above, man. All of it.
Six years ago.
Crazy. Crazy.
You had an infant. That's it.
Yeah.
Immobile.
Yeah.
The two that run around everywhere.
Inside and out.
All right. That was 6 years ago. Then, of course, one of the very defining eras of our show was the pandemic and trying to get through months and months without any real content at all. Certainly no sporting games to talk about. Everything shut down. We're not with Paulie. He's alone here in the studio, and we're out at the Corona Cave, which was surprisingly, it worked out pretty well. In the little guest house, we would get together in each other's bubble, and we had our equipment that was just set up there every single day. And magically, I don't know how, every morning we go, we would connect, it would work, we would pretty much be on the air, no problem, for 4 hours every single morning.
36 degrees in there. I'm wrapped in a blanket every day.
Until this week in 2020, when for the first time, the pandemic had been gone on for months.
Yeah.
And, you know, my parents were strictly quarantining. They were... We would wave at them.
Yeah, she would bring us a bagel every now and then.
Yeah, but just leave it at the door. Yeah. So we would have
through the window.
No interaction, just wave through the window. But they actually, I think they went to visit my grandma or something and needed to take care of something. So they were actually out of the house.
House
we couldn't
locked.
Get in. The house was locked. And this is when we have our first technological internet problems.
Of course. Yeah, this was the trade deadline was at the end of August that year. Season started July 20th or something. So the weird late August trade deadline, and the Padres had just made that trade. They sent Austin Hedges, Cal Quantrill to Cleveland, acquired Mike Clevinger. And so we had MLB.com's Mark Feinsand on the air. And what had happened all morning was you guys were dropping off.
8 minutes.
Every 8 minutes.
On the nose, almost.
You guys, the connection would fail. You guys would completely disappear. It got to the point where I would just play music for a minute or two, and then you guys would pop back on.
It was awful.
But we couldn't do anything about it.
Nothing.
There was the only thing we could do was reset the router,
or
which
just
was in
go
the
home.
House.
Just that
was
go locked. Home. Dump into National. That was it. I was so mad.
I don't know why we still decided to try this interview 2 hours later.
As I point, don't you know why?
Yeah.
Check this.
We're talking to Mark Feinsand, and you guys, oh, God, it's so
Padres off to an 18-12 start, just 4 games behind the Dodgers. Preller hasn't been afraid to make big moves during his tenure in San Diego, so the idea of adding a piece or two or three wouldn't be shocking, especially in the bullpen. How about 10 pieces, Mark? See 10 pieces coming from the Padres at this trade deadline?
I was going to say, I think they undershot the expectations there. In my conversation,
he could hear us.
At all.
It was a compliment that he saw this
He could
coming.
Hear us.
But we couldn't hear anything. Hear we lost it.
I don't think Mark likes...
Oh, God.
So... You guys were still technically on the air. You were about to drop, but you thought you had already dropped.
You
just started talking while he's talking. So, yeah, you guys are just
talking over.
In my conversation,
it was a compliment that he saw
I'm
this
dying.
Coming, that the Padres were going to be very busy.
I don't think Mark likes.
Now you're off.
Now we're gone.
Completely gone.
Hello? You guys there?
Mark, I think we lost our guys. We're doing a remote broadcast still.
I was going to say I was talking, and they clearly couldn't hear me.
No. So we're going to work on getting them back. But, Mark, we'll just keep you on the line here. So what did you make when you saw the Clevinger news break? I mean, was that where you thought he was going to go here in San Diego?
It's like Paulie's a position player coming in to pitch the last two innings. And, yeah.
Because I knew if I could just figure it out, ask a question, then you guys would probably dial back in.
You can't play anymore.
Be ready to go.
I can't hear anymore.
So we had. I remember now. We had Uncle Teddy was scheduled to join us that morning, next hour.
Yeah.
We're like,
no.
Absolutely not. He'll lose his mind.
Could you imagine? That would have been great radio.
Unless you guys kept it to 4 minutes, but that would have been one answer from Uncle Teddy.
Yeah, it was really rough. That was a rough one. I can't hear it again. Let's bang that one for next year, because
I want to hear that one either.
Us just talking over him, and he can't hear us.
Well, we couldn't hear him, so we thought, oh, we're off the air again. And we started,
oh my God.
complaining, like, we got to wait until it comes back, and wondering what's Pauly doing.
I was going to say, I think they undershot the expectations there. In my conversation,
I was remember how mad I was behind the scenes.
Why on earth would it only like drop in one direction for 10 seconds and then drop us the other direction?
I don't know.
Idea what was going on that day.
So livid.
It was awful.
So mad.
It was. That was a miserable.
I don't want to hear that one again.
That was like one of the worst days we've ever had.
I don't want to hear that next year. Okay.
All right. This hour.
Did we figure it out? What's going on? Eno and Mason McCoy?
Yeah, Eno is going to be at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And Mason McCoy, 8:30.
All right,
scheduled
good.
To join us.
Okay. All right. Remember, we're going right to the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show at 10:15 with Sammy Levitt this morning. A little bonus, Ben and Woods. So the second almost half of the show coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.